Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Corporate Quitter. I actually have a really deep question to ask, and maybe this is something you yourself have been asking as well. And maybe it's not really deep, but it is for me because this is kind of what I do. And I'm sure a lot of you, if you're listening to this, you're also thinking about it. But do you think that influencers are dead? Like, do you think that the influencer business itself, that model is dead? Because I've been reading things across the internet for quite a while now about how, we talk about de-influencing, right? We don't want to buy things. And also, not only the fact that we don't want to buy things, because it's our human nature, we want to buy things. I want to be influenced to buy something that would benefit me, right? That was the original point of being an influencer, was to share with the world things that you loved that were helping you, that you wanted to share with your audience, as opposed to it being this giant, I don't want to say a Ponzi scheme because it's not, but it's definitely a cash grab to some. And I know this because I've been in the business for 3 years, and part of the reason I stopped doing brand deals was because it was feeling very much like that. Now, thankfully, I would like to think I have a pretty good moral compass. So about 4 or 5 brand deals into my experience, I stopped kind of doing that. And it's not because I didn't feel that there was value there. It's not because of the money aspect. Money's great, especially with I have a pretty medium-sized following. So on a 47,000 follower page on TikTok, I could ask anywhere from $500 to $1,000 for a video, and it would be, right, relatively speaking, pretty easy. There are components within it that require my skill set that maybe I wouldn't have had prior, like content creation, like video editing in a certain way, mood boarding, coming up with hooks and things like that. And of course, the communication in general of going back and forth with what is a corporate entity that is paying you for said branded product or video or whatever it is. I just started to feel gross about it because, not that I, thankfully, again, if any of you are wanting to pursue the influencer route, please, please do not be selling shit that you don't believe in because people will notice. But even if I did believe in the products that I was sharing or, being paid to share about, or they were ones that I used and swore by, it still felt kind of gross because the reason why brands work with influencers or people of influence, right? We don't even have to use influencers in general. People of influence can be celebrities, it can be sports players, it can be your fucking boss, your neighbor, right? Anyone who influenced you to purchase a product or check out a book at the library or try something has influenced you in some sort of way, right? They in that regard could be called an influencer. But I'm talking about the actual person who identifies their career as an influencer. It's a pretty slippery slope to kind of go down, depending on what you're kind of going for and what you're creating essentially, but it can be really easy, especially when things are volatile or you're like short on cash, which I've been in places like that many, many times where you're like, oh, I'll just sell, for $1,000, I'll just sell this bullshit thing because I need it. But the problem with that is that you're essentially like bullshitting your audience. And so part of the reason brands started using influencers, because it's a hell of a lot cheaper and more effective than you would ads on TV, right? Who the hell pays for ads? No, I mean, like, other than the Super Bowl, like, who's watching those ads? Like my grandma? Like I mean, we all pay for subscription streaming services so that we can avoid the ads. And even if we do have ads on our TVs and things like that, for those who use cable or maybe things like YouTube and other services that have ads in there that maybe you don't want to pay for, it's not like we really watch them. We wait for the skip button and we kind of go over it, or during our commercial break, we run and go use the bathroom or something. So I mean, the brands who are using traditional ads are recognizing that it's not working. So that's why they lean on influencers and people who do podcasts and things like that for more effective ways of reaching their target audience. But I think at this point, especially when we look at the bigger picture of capitalism now coming to a point of it being so problematic, it's not just that capitalism is evil, because it's not. Realistically, we need money, we need an economy, we need a system of selling and buying goods, right? It's required to have the sort of system we live in right now. Not that bartering and trading can't exist, but it's a bit of an antiquated system. And I'm not an expert. I don't know how that would necessarily fit in today's world in terms of you know, certain things, like what would you barter in exchange for your Netflix subscription? I'm not quite sure how that would work, but okay, if you want to barter with your neighbor, hey, can you fix this button and sew a zipper on this dress, and I'll bake you a loaf of my special, like whatever it is, that's cool. And maybe that's coming back. I'm seeing that actually come back. But again, going back to capitalism, like it's coming to a point where the divide between the rich and the poor, not even the rich and the middle class, it's the rich and the poor. We'll say the rich and the middle class down to the poor. It's really everyone. There's a huge divide between the two. And so when you see these companies making record profits, and we are all struggling, regardless of where you are kind of in the spectrum of, you know, consumers, we'll say, right, individuals living here on this planet that we are then forced to pay for because that's just the world we live in. You have to make a living. It can be really disheartening when you see people trying to sell you shit that you don't need. So we've been seeing this rise of the de-influencing, essentially people who are, instead of going to a store and saying, hey, you should buy this, this, and this, it's doing more of like, hey, why you shouldn't buy this because this and this. And sometimes it's accurate in saying, oh, the item that was marketed to you doesn't actually clear your skin. It doesn't actually create weight loss. It doesn't actually, whatever marketing ploy has been kind of added and campaigned against you, it's actually doing this other thing or not doing anything at all, right? So there's a lot of things going on right now, not only to show that corporations are full of shit, like we're seeing a lot of brands who, like Olaplex is one of them. It's a hair brand, or it's a brand that has hair products, and they claim that they, one of their products basically helps to strengthen your hair with growth and things like that, when in reality, it actually does the opposite. So you end up buying that over and over again to help the problem that it is creating. And so the de-influencing trend has really helped to bring light to the fact that, again, you shouldn't be buying all of these products, and rightfully so. We don't need all, why is it you go to the store and there's 30 sort of options for fucking shampoo. I can understand the difference between, okay, you have dry scalp, maybe you have an oily scalp, you have hair that's a bit coarser, you have textured hair, curly hair versus straight hair. Okay, there's a different, and then of course you have like different ethnicities and the differences between our hair in terms of, again, coarseness, texture, like everything. I don't know the hair game. I'm just using that as an example as to include everyone. But even so, why do we have so many options? Is it really necessary? And even when you think about new businesses who are coming on the market, like, do we fucking need another shop? Do we need another variation of something that's been created before? And sure, there's like clean products versus like dirtier products in terms of like the quality of the ingredients that they use. Or, you know, there's a difference between creating something that's innovative and like basically fixes a new challenge, a new problem, or a really long existing problem, or something that's just like, once again, another marketing ploy. So, you know, you have new beverages coming on the market. That's yet another prebiotic drink that comes on the market. Like, did we ask for that? Do we need it? Is it actually doing what it's supposed to? And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I know that there are people who use these products, and they're very niche markets, which is why there's such a variety of products available to us. But I think this is also part of the problem of like, okay, there's so many products to be sold. There are so many influencers who are niching down to create targeted audiences to sell these, you know, the products. So at what point have we gone way too far down the rabbit hole where we have to say, nah, man, like we don't need another drink. We don't need another sparkling seltzer or shampoo or, I don't know, another software that does the same fucking shit that this other one does. And I get it. We all like, we're the reason why we're even creating the products to begin with is, yes, okay, there's the idea of solving a problem, but it's to fulfill the American dream, because the American dream, the traditional one that my parents and my grandparents grew up on, of like, get a job and you can have a home and have a good life, is dead. But now we're in this new American dream of everyone wants to be a creator, everyone wants to be an influencer. And now I feel like that's kind of reaching its peak. I truthfully don't feel like influencers are going to have their sort of status like they did today. Like, I mean, everyone, there's, power's a tricky thing, right? Because the reason why people want to have followers and fans and things like that and be influencers is for the sake of power, right? there is power in numbers. And with followers and things like that, you can do quite a lot. I mean, I'm in the middle of writing my manuscript, and I actually, thankfully, a friend of mine on my behalf had spoken to a publisher, and the publisher basically said, she's got a great thing going, but she needs a bigger audience. And to me, like, I get it. I totally get it. If you're going to put marketing dollars behind someone in a project, you want it to sell, right? And so in order for it to sell, you need people behind that to actually buy. But it comes to a point where everything becomes a metric and it's less about the actual creation process. And that to me is scary, because back then being an influencer was just someone who so profusely loved the niche or the thing that they were in, as opposed to it just being a cash grab. And luckily it monetarily worked out. But now it's becoming an explicitly like money cash grab thing, because traditional jobs and the traditional system that we thought we could access by getting this fucking piece of paper, this degree, is just no longer accessible. And so when the novelty kind of wears off and this idea of the untraditional, right, a creator or being a freelancer was something of an untraditional path for a really, really long time. And now it's become the norm, right? Everyone has a side gig. Everyone is doing something online. Everyone is creating. And I think that's a wonderful thing, but it's something to be concerned about, because if influencers are dying and the creator economy is changing, what then happens to the traditional? Traditional meaning the nuclear family, the traditional meaning the 9-to-5 job, the traditional meaning, I don't know, not being a nomad, actually owning a home and being in one place for not maybe your whole life, but a good chunk of your life. When you buy a home, you basically stay in the same place for a while because you bought it. And you kind of want to see through your investment, maybe flip the property, maybe just put some TLC into it, grow a family. Who knows what the idea of it is, but it's not quite like renting. You know, it's a little bit more, it's something you actually have to stay in for a while. And so if the traditional is now coming, making a comeback in terms of like, not just the income, but we're seeing more people who are not stay-at-home wives, but us women, I think a lot of us are like, oh, we're realizing being boss babes isn't the best thing. And we were kind of sold a sack of shit with having to do this, which is a whole nother conversation about how, I don't want to say the government is milking two incomes, but again, there's plenty of speculation on like why that came to be and all that. But I do think it's amazing that us women finally have a choice in the matter of what we want to do. Conversation for a different day. But if the untraditional is becoming traditional, then what happens of the traditional model? Does it then become untraditional? Is there going to be a day where everyone and their mother is an influencer and a creator and a freelancer, that it's actually going to be the norm, to the point that you having a regular job and having no followers becomes the sexiest and coolest and most hip thing to do? Or is that we're going to advance yet again and have this new level where it's kind of scary to even say it, but the flip side would be much like that example of the Black Mirror episode. I think it's the first one ever where there's like a social credit system where essentially every interaction you have is then rated based on that person's interaction, which we already see on Uber and Lyft and things like that, right? If you have a shitty ride, you can rate that driver and say, yeah, they were aggressive or whatever it is, and give them 4 stars instead of 5. And then it affects their scale, right? It affects their rating, it affects their ability to, I don't know, do a number of rides or even do rides at all. I don't quite know the system because I'm not an Uber or Lyft driver, but if you are, comment on this video or respond to the podcast, because I would love to know kind of the system and how that works. But could it get to a point of the traditional becoming like untraditional, and this point of like every single person needs to be a creator and actually have a phone and rate things and be part of the social structure, to then create a world where everything is on, let's say, a numbered or a starred scale, and based on that credit system of sorts, that you yourself will be judged, not just on your credit score of like financial institutions and whether you can have a home or not, but like literally down to getting reservations at a restaurant, to being able to access things like a library. And I'm not saying this to scare you, and I'm not saying that these things are going to happen, because truthfully, I have a lot of optimism for the future. I don't think that right now we're in the greatest place, but because we're not in the greatest place, so many more people are waking up to the fact that things are not okay. Like, we are not in a good space right now. And also for that reason, we have more power than we think that we do. The people who work for our government, the people who control us and the world and everything, are only a select few. And there are more of us than there are them. And so we see this thing of like a mass exodus from corporate, right? The great resignation and lazy girl jobs and all of that stuff. We're sending a signal of like we're done playing your game. Sure, you can keep rising interest rates, but one day we're all going to snap and shit is about to, it's going to hit. It's going to hit, whether it's a massive explosion of sorts, whether it is, again, a silent but deadly retaliation of our sorts, like we did with the great resignation of quitting and sending a signal of like, hey, we want better working conditions and we want to be paid, I don't know, a livable wage. I can see how in the future, some of these things that have been slowly trickling out in the media as kind of things of potentiality as becoming reality. But I do think with the idea of AI and many of these other tools that there's going to be a lot of cool things happening in the future that will make our lives once again easier. And much like that being easier of just like living, there's also the idea of making money easier and things like that, right? So even what I'm doing right now, I work mostly as a freelancer while I do this podcast stuff and kind of figure out the direction of what I want to go. Because again, I think the idea of influencers is kind of dying. So of course, I've been in a tizzy since the beginning of this of like, where do we want to go and what do we want to create? But I've replaced my corporate income at this point. I roughly bring in $5,000 every single month on average, and it will spike every so often, the most being 10K, which was this past December. And that's basically what I made after taxes and corporate. And the fact that I don't have to leave my home and work maybe 10 hours a week is something really crazy to think about for a second. Like, I never thought that was possible, and it is. And so without technology and AI and stuff, this would have never happened. So all this to say, I think we're in a really pivotal and interesting place. I'm really curious to hear from you guys what you think about this idea of de-influencing as well as like influencers. I know a lot of us are burnt the fuck out when it comes to buying things and just consumerism and capitalism kind of embedding its way into so many different things and how it's really affecting us on a mental health level and how it like we place so much value on the monetary. We place so much emphasis on our monetary value and the creation of said monetary resources that we ourselves forget that we as a human are valuable just because we're here. And that's a really scary place to be when most people are struggling. So I would love to hear your feedback. I would love to hear what you think about this. I also would love to hear if there's any topics or anything controversial, because we love a good spicy topic to talk about. And you would love for me to do some dive deep research into and explain a bit more. I'm going to keep doing these sort of opinionated pieces, if you will, as well as interviews, but I really want to start getting into more research-backed kind of things that are going on. I want to do more in-depth analysis of stuff, not in a boring way, but I want to bring more of this stuff to the forefront, because I'm sure a lot of you are working your jobs or working your businesses and you don't have the time necessarily to dive into these things. So I want to be that voice of reason, or at least that voice of knowledge for you. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are. Please let me know. And for those who are listening on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, please check out the videos. I've been posting them on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe. I will be bringing in some teaching aspects. So some of the upcoming things I'll be teaching about is pertaining to podcasting, as well as just that things that I use to run my businesses and all of that. So if you have any suggestions or ideas about what you want me to teach on YouTube, please let me know. Also, the first week in April, we're launching our podcast launch lab. If you are interested in launching a podcast and want to do it without audio editing, tech, like any sort of tech background or social media experience, this is perfect for you. It's super streamlined. It's super easy. So you can have a high quality podcast with a low budget. And also it will be low monetary budget from month to month. So I am launching that again the first week in April. You can take $100 off by using the code FIRSTDIBS. And if you have any questions pertaining to that, reach out. But it's pretty straightforward. You'll have a podcast up and running between 4 and 6 weeks with me, which is super exciting. And I'll send you off on your way and you can keep doing your thing. But anywho, have a great week and I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.